The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Ding, 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 ding.
Drop it, Bear!
It's getting worse.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, yes, it is getting worse. There's no doubt about it. The Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning on a Quasimodo Wednesday. That's right, Basinonians. Wake up. We are at the apex. We're at the top of the hill, getting ready to go down that hill when Doug Lee starts talking, as a matter of fact. Down that hill, I say, going into the weekend. Good morning to you, Command and Control. Good morning, studio wife. Good morning, Doug Lace.
That's right. It's now going downhill in enjoyment as it was going uphill in drudgery just a second ago.
The best part about that is that you just yelled that with the door slightly cracked in the Octane Community Studios. So whoever is out in the newsroom right now definitely heard that and was like, who is this crazy person? Well, they probably know who the crazy person is.
Well, I was going to say, it's been
if they don't know by now.
I mean, it's been a few years, I would imagine.
Nothing is more shocking to watch people, and I'm sure that before I tell you this story, this is a Hibachi Wednesday. I just want to throw it out there
now. Okay, good. Hibachi.
Today is just one of those days where everything that's on my mind, there's something in the back of my head that's saying, don't go there. Don't say it.
Okay,
and there's just things that just need to be said today.
Okay.
It's a Hibachi in-your-face Wednesday. But one of the things that we used to do, and if you're young, you don't know this, they were called road shows, okay? There used to be this world we lived in pre-coronavirus where people would say, you know what, I want the Doug and Wolf Show to come to my business and talk about my business. So we would go out and do these road shows. And I'm sure I'm not supposed to say it, but for some reason, once you hit the age of about, I'm going to say 59 to 60 years old, anybody who's sitting in a grocery store with a pair of headphones on are somehow running the grocery store.
Right.
So we would be doing the show, and when Wolf would break into a Pantera call out or the bells or something like that, it would literally scare people, and for some reason you'd have these people, young people would, like, walk fast. Like, have you ever seen somebody when they're in the crosswalk and they're not supposed to be?
Right.
And as you're approaching them, they kind of feel somewhat bad. Not bad enough to run, but bad enough to where they do this hurry-up walk, and they go from 2.5 miles an hour to 3, and they think that they're saving you. They would do that in front of our table. Your presence affects radio at all. And then old people would come up to us, and I'm sure I'm going to get blasted for saying that because I guess no one's old anymore. But old people would come up to us in the middle of a beautiful part of the program, and they would say, where's the flower at?
Yes.
And like I'm trying to broadcast, lady. How do I know in a grocery store where the sugar and flour are?
It's so true, Douglas. There's no doubt about it, right? You put the headset on, and suddenly it's like you're traffic control or something.
Exactly.
It's like you know everything. Why in the world would they put you in front of a microphone with a headset on in the front of the store if you didn't know what was going on?
Exactly. I'm supposed to be able to page people in the middle of a sports talk show. Yes. We would like to have somebody help pick up cereal or get the cereal box that's on the high shelf for Miss Adams here.
Like you're making announcements. One of the coolest things you could ever do, by the way, if in fact you go to some banquet, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, some roast, some type of banquet, and suddenly there's a mic up there. There's a dais, of course, and the mic, you walk up to it, and you just making an announcement in front of everybody is one of my favorite things to do. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? And you make the announcement.
And whenever you say that, nothing important is coming next.
I don't know why it is, but I love doing it. And anytime I do something like that, I ask the guy, listen, are you gonna be okay if I get up there and make a couple of announcements? And I mean, the look on their faces when I say that to them, it's incredible. The only other thing I want to say is this right here. When you get the young people, And all of a sudden I'm doing the Pantera call out, or I am saying something like Quasimodo Wednesday, yes, master, right, and something like that. They do walk by quickly, and what is happening is their sphere of coolness is being affronted. See, that's the problem. You got to be cool and under control when you're younger at all times, right? You have to be, and it's being affronted when somebody is acting like Quasimodo. Does that make sense, ladies and gentlemen?
I think it makes sense.
Oh, the sphere of coolness is affronted.
And I don't think, are you saying because you have established yourself as the alpha male in the sphere and they're threatened by that?
No. Okay, I'm saying no. It's not cool to them to actually act like you're Quasimodo.
Yeah, okay.
It's just not cool.
Next. I feel better about that. I accept that. Maloney told me earlier this morning, don't go there. Nobody cares.
Yeah, right. Hibachi indeed.
But did you see the story from the Angels?
Let me think. The story from the Angels. No, I did not.
Andrelton Simmons is 1 week away from being a free agent.
Okay.
And anybody this weekend that's still mathematically eligible for the playoffs has to enter the bubble.
Okay.
Andrelton Simmons, the starting shortstop for the Angels, has just opted out for the 2020 season.
Okay. That's
with the Angels still mathematically in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Okay.
What a bunch of crap. And he's saying, well, I need to do what's best for my family in a pandemic. What a bunch of – I hope
30 teams – Have you got all the details?
I have never in my life asked for anybody to organizations to boycott a player. And
oh,
it's actually
no.
Somewhat, it's actually somewhat illegal. But this is so ridiculous. If you're an owner, why would you sign this guy if he's – you were able to play baseball in a pandemic for 3 months, but suddenly now when your team is – looks like it's not going to go to the playoffs, you need to worry about your family's health? No, you don't. That's not what's going on. Just what a bunch of crap. Why would you sign a guy that's going to quit on you a week left in the season?
I just would say, do we have all the details at our disposal?
I don't know if I want all the details.
Well,
there's 1 week left.
Is there somebody sick in his family? Do we have details?
I don't care.
That would be the question I would ask.
I luckily, as long as Nick Ahmed picks his defense back up in 2021, we've already got a shortstop.
Okay.
We don't have to worry
about it.
All
right, yes. Okay, hit the sounder, please.
Thank you.
And now,
thank you so much.
It's
time Doug
for your Arizona
right.
Sports ridiculous. Starting five. You can't go to work without knowing these five
huge
stories.
Here come the playoffs, maybe.
Here we go.
No. I'm suddenly worried
and
now.
Just punch it.
Ron Wolfley.
Hi, Vince, on a Hibachi Wednesday.
Number five
this morning, Bruce Arians has a lot on his mind. Are you surprised about the lack of production after you've signed Rob Gronkowski?
Not really. I mean, he got a nice pass interference call for us. Missed him on the over route, but it's not like – we're not throwing the ball 50 times to the tight ends, so that's what we got receivers for. That's where our offense is built.
He thought about it, didn't he? I love it, man.
Am I going to say it or am I not?
Am I going to say it? We're not throwing the ball to the tight end 50 times a game. He thought about it.
If you have one that used to be as good as Rob Gronkowski, you might think about it. But the truth is, Rob Gronkowski is not as good as Rob Gronkowski used to be.
No.
Number four
is your NBA playoffs last night and just the shellacking of the Los Angeles Lakers, who never seem to be engaged in this game at all. Give Denver a lot of credit for coming back, and the score is not nearly as distant as it should have been, 114 to 106. Some of the advanced analytics actually have a stat of open three-pointers. And in the NBA, if no one's within three to 6 feet of you, you're wide open. And the Lakers didn't hit any of their wide-open three-pointers.
Unbelievable right there. They cut it to three with just over 3 minutes to go in this game. And I thought, oh, my goodness, here we go. We're going to have a great finish. And then Denver hit the gas.
Adam Silver also yesterday said something interesting, that he doesn't foresee the 2020-2021 season starting in 2020. Basically making it apparently, you know, painfully obvious that the 2020-2021 season will be a 21-only season.
Next.
Number three.
Number three is one man steps up, and I thought it was really interesting to hear what he had to say, in which DeAndre Hopkins says, that interception by Kyler Murray, that was on me. I ran the wrong route.
He ran the wrong route. We can all guess as to what he should have done, but it was still a great play by Landon Collins.
Yeah, it was. But all I care about is, do you man up, or do you just let your quarterback take the blame? And I love that accountability from a veteran.
Number two.
Number two this morning is Riley Smith. Wow. Riley Smith comes out of the bullpen for the Arizona Diamondbacks and shuts things down. He goes five innings, gets the win, and the Diamondbacks' offense explodes. They win 7-0. But the major stat of the game, Wolf, the Texas Rangers had five players, 65 and older. I don't mean their age. 65 jersey number and higher.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. And by the way, Caleb Smith, way to overcome a disastrous start.
Oh, it did look bad.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning, are you related to an Arizona Cardinal? Because if you are, you get to see some live football. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Burns and Gambo.
I wonder if this is just the state of America that we're just sick of it. I wonder if it's just simply the advancement as we learn more. Or is there a little bit of jealousy that, hey, it worked for the Chiefs, it worked for the Cowboys, let's give this a shot. But the Arizona Cardinals have announced that they're going to have kind of like a dry run. Let's see how this goes.
Here
and
we
go small at the beginning. But if there will be tickets issued to the Detroit Lions game, but only to the friends and family of the players to be able to get into this game. And this seems like a pretty monumental moment, because from the beginning the Cardinals have said no regular tickets, no regular fans for the first two games for all of September. But now it kind of looks like, hey, let's see how this goes before we make a decision on October.
Man, this makes me feel so good, Douglas. It really does, right? It fills me with a hope and an expectation that is frankly dangerous. I mean, all I can think of, my brothers, maskless faces. How about that? At some point, handshakes, high fives, and raucous noise emanating from people that love sports, whether it's college, professional, whatever it may be, just getting back to some type of normalcy. Now, is that going to be the case this Sunday? Heck no, that's not going to be the case. You're going to have to wear a mask. There'll be no high-fiving, you crazy people that are out there doing that. Don't you shake my hand. Of course not. There's not going to be any of that. But when I hear this story right here, I think of down the road. I think of here it comes. Can we get back to normal? Is this a first step of really getting back to normal in this country? I don't know, but I know it made me feel really, really good that very first game of the NFL season, looking around it at Arrowhead and actually seeing people at that stadium. It filled me with a hope, and I'm hoping this continues to evolve the way that it is right now.
I'm assuming they won't list the attendance of the game, but it is funny, is the according to an article that I read at azcardinals.com, it says that Maricopa County Department of Public Health and the Arizona Department of Health Services have allowed what's called the testing of the implementation of health and safety protocols.
Of course.
Yet the group is not allowed to total more than 750 people. So you have a maximum attendance of 750 people to see how this goes, and the Cardinals have decided it will be friends and family of the Arizona Cardinals players to see how this first game with a semblance of fans go.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, man, this is great. The Falcons are doing almost the same thing in Atlanta. They're allowing 500 family and friends this Sunday. Other teams are doing it as well. A handful of NFL teams have already allowed a limited number of fans in their stadiums this year. The Dolphins supposedly are talking about over 11,000 people, right, for their home opener. Actually, they had 11,000 people.
Do you want to know something funny? Opener.
What?
What the Dolphins really did is they opened up 13,000 tickets for sale and only were able to sell 11.
I did not know that, Douglas.
I'm hoping it's the whole
11,000.
The entire quote unquote state of South Florida is that scared of coronavirus. I don't want to risk it. I get that, but I hope it's not an indictment of this is how they truly feel about their Dolphins.
And as we all know as well, right, the story of DeAndre Hopkins, of course, and every time he scores a touchdown, he gives the ball to his mom, and his mom is blind, as we all know, and just a great story. If you haven't heard the story, Basinonians, go ahead and Google it. It's right there for all to read. You'll be truly amazed and stunned by it. But the fact that she was not there last week for his touchdown that he got, you know, that was a bit of a bummer. Can you imagine how jacked up he's going to be this week? Because you know his mom is most likely going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be huge.
Another small aspect of this, which a lot of you that are big-time Cardinals fans, you probably know, but maybe you really haven't thought of. After Sunday, the Cardinals aren't home until the Sunday before Halloween. That's that big of a gap. Yeah. Halloween is a Saturday night, and it is that weekend of Halloween that the Cardinals have their bye weekend. But the Sunday before, they're home against Seattle. And wouldn't that be nice to be able to have some fans in the game? They have three straight road games leading up to that. So once you get past Detroit, it's at Carolina, at the Jets, back-to-back East Coast games, and then a Monday nighter in Dallas before you're home against Seattle. So if this goes well with the 750 friends and family of the players, and then hopefully Arizona continues to being put up the numbers that the health community wants to see, there's no way you're going to have a sellout or anything, but maybe we could be able to get up into the 10, 15, 20,000 fans in that building by the Seahawks game.
Do you have any idea, Douglas? I mean, that'd be fantastic, of course, obviously, right? Just, again, getting back to some type of normalcy in this country. But do you have any idea, if you could have, let's say there's 7,500 fans.
Okay.
At some point in time, the Cardinals say, we're going to let 7,500 fans. We're actually going to go ahead and let them come into the stadium. That's the amount of tickets we're going to sell right there. Do we have any idea what kind of decibel level that would create? What would the NFL do? Do you have any idea, Douglas, as to what they would do with the decibel level inside the stadium? Is that impacted in any way, shape, or form by live people actually being there?
The last thing I ever read was simply that whether or not you sell tickets does not affect the NFL sound guy and creating a decibel level of 70.
Okay, so it's here, not.
Here's what I don't know, though, and this is where there's a real big hole in my knowledge. Does that mean combined with the live fans? My job is to create a 70 decibel level, and if the fans can get louder than what I've created, good for you? Or does it mean the fans are already at a 50, I can only pump it up to, you know, I don't know about that. And decibels, it's not a type of number where you just add 1 + 1 = 2.
Yes.
It kind of builds a little differently when you're talking about decibels. So I don't know exactly how that's going to work, and I'm glad you asked. I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's encouraging nonetheless, is it not, Basinonians, that we're talking about this being a dry run, this being a situation where 750 friends and family showing up at State Farm Stadium this weekend, this is a precursor and could be a precursor to actually having the Red Sea back at State Farm Stadium. Man, I'll tell you, does anyone else dream about that? Do you dream about this stuff? Walking around and seeing people not actually wearing masks, actually seeing faces, shaking somebody's hand. I'm so out of sorts with the whole handshake thing, even now still. I know I've talked about it from time to time based on our needs, but it's just so it's so ingrained in me to meet somebody and shoot your hand out there and look them dead in the eye, and it's just, man, I hate that. I hate the fact that it's scorned now and looked upon as if, what are you doing, you madman? Sticking your hand out to shake somebody's hand.
Normally for me, I've noticed it's other people around me. Like the guy that I'm getting ready to shake his hand, I don't know if we're just on the same wavelength or if he's doing it out of habit. Most people reach out to shake mine without thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're offended, but the other people around you are like, what are you doing?
That's, yeah, right.
You just killed us all.
You mad man.
No way to make a good transition to this, Wolf, but this is breaking news, and it just stinks. You knew it's going to happen at some point in life, but it just stinks. 77-year-old Gale Sayers has died.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah. The Hall of Famer died early this morning. And, boy, if you ever get a chance to watch some highlight films of him, I don't have a living knowledge as me being old enough and watching Gale Sayers. But, the highlights of what that man accomplished are just unbelievable. How great he was. So Gale Sayers is dead at the age of 77. No good way to transition out that, so I don't want anybody to think I can even try, but I want to let you know that coming up next at 6:30, we're going to look at Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury and the most important aspect of why things are going well. I'll explain next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Wolf Bear Maloney in the Acton Community Studios. Well, I'm on the west side in Studio Wife, as Wolf dubbed my wife Jennifer's office that I just kind of commandeered. I don't really know what the word commandeered means. And Paul Calvisi is on the east side. But, Paul, you've never described a thing about where you hide out.
Doug,
where do you
have this guitar solo? I mean, Wolf's chair dancing is already obscene enough, and then he goes into the
there's never any.
He goes all
chair
guitar
dancing,
hero
Paul.
With the air guitar.
Never.
We don't need it. We don't want it.
Maybe a little head bob, but never chair dancing.
I've seen it. Yeah,
never.
I think we've all seen it. Does anybody remember Rex Ryan? Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan!
Please don't.
Telling us just how ridiculous and terrible the Cardinals' offense is. Now, here's Rex Ryan on Get Up.
Protects himself. I've never seen a guy take less hits. As soon as he scrambles, don't worry about it, Cardinal fans. He's not going to get hurt. He does not get touched. And so when you look at him, he either slides on the ground as a great baseball player, he gets out of bounds, or he sticks it in the end zone. Mm-hmm. You're not touching him. Dan, you and I talked about it. Remember in college, we're like, this kid never gets tackled.
Never, yeah.
And now he's not even getting touched. So to me, I've seen this one other time, I think, when thinking about all these players.
Uh-huh.
I think it's Michael Vick, but he throws the ball better. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that was it. The way Vick burst on the scene, that's the way this kid is right now.
We need a new Nick Saban rule around here.
Yeah.
No Rex Ryan before 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Please.
I thought we had a new rule about all that.
That's well done. That's the two-man game right there. Apparently Rex now has watched highlights. So we've gone from not watching anything on the Cardinals and making those erroneous, fictitious statements he did before the opener about how the Cardinals never win the time of possession, they don't have a run game, and they're going to crush their own defense, to now he's seen a few highlights of Kyler running around, and he's made that conclusion. So I'm not sure how much we're supposed to pay attention to Rex Ryan, but the problem is, I think it really is the tip of the national media iceberg, as they don't have a true understanding of the Arizona Cardinals 2020 and the future of football, Kyler Murray.
The thing I don't like about this, although I understand the skill set may be similar, I don't like the comparison to Michael Vick, period.
No.
I don't like the comparison. I love Michael, and I'm a fan, but Michael isn't the passer Kyler Murray is. And when you're talking about throwing a football and being a quarterback in the National Football League, is there any attribute more important than throwing the football? No. So how do you compare Kyler to Michael Vick? Kyler is a much better thrower of the football than Michael Vick, and I'm not attacking Michael Vick in any way, shape, or form. So I don't like the comparison to Michael Vick. I don't like the comp. Kyler's got his own comp.
I mean, Kyler is a pocket quarterback who can run. Man. Michael Vick was the opposite, wasn't he? Let's be honest. He was a running quarterback who could throw occasionally.
Yeah, they tried to. They tried to keep him in there. They tried to keep him in the pocket. They tried to teach him how to do that. And remember when Michael Vick was playing, it was always this massive debate. It was this massive debate among coaches, among players, among analysts as to whether or not, hey, you're killing the guys. You're killing the spontaneity. You're killing all of his goodness, his ability to pull the ball down and run. You're killing it by forcing him to stay in the pocket and not use his legs because everybody believed if he ran the ball, he was going to get hurt.
I have a theory. Can't back it up. Michael Vick loved playing football. Michael Vick did not love the process of being an NFL quarterback. And I bet he just didn't spend enough time learning the game and watching film until he was much older and many hits later. And from everything we've heard about Kyler Murray, that's nowhere near accurate about who he is that this is what he cares about deeply is both playing and the process. And therefore, he is a quarterback who is as fast as Michael Vick and is as elusive as Michael Vick. But he plays quarterback first. And that's the biggest difference. Just to tell you how far we've come, if you remember, the quote was LaMarcus Joyner. It was after a preseason game. It was, well, it's pretty boy football. It don't allow the defense to play physical like we want to. After those comments from LaMarcus Joyner, Rex Ryan said,
absolutely. They're going to be like, look, who cares about this offense? There's a reason there's not, you know, all this type of offenses in the league. Why? Because I don't think it's going to work in this NFL. But, you know, the great thing is,
what part of it doesn't work? What specifically can't you do that you
you've got to be able to protect your quarterback. And I think that's the big thing. The other thing is, if you're going to go in there and say, hey, we're going to get 90 plays on offense, great. How many is that other team going to get your defense? And that's all fine and dandy until you start going three and out, getting sacked, and all that other kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, you're putting your defense out there for forever.
That was just 13 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in 13 months, Rex Ryan is talking about how this guy doesn't get hit. Everything's okay.
But again, two Sundays ago, he was saying essentially the same thing in the pregame show 4 hours before kickoff of week one. It's only now that he's come around after two Cardinals games. So the only thing to me that Kyler Murray truly has in common with Michael Vick is what he does to a defensive mindset, how he'll freak out a defense leading up to the matchup. Remember when the Cardinals would go against Michael Vick and they would play against the Falcons and all the defensive guys all week long had to field all the questions. Oh, geez, what are you going to do against the legs? And there was so much thought and consideration that a lot of defensive guys were psyched out before they ever took the field. They're like, oh man, I don't want to end up in space against Michael Vick. I'm going to look bad on film, and I'm going to get clowned, and this guy's going to leave me in the dust. There's a lot of that now I'm sensing with Kyler Murray, that same dual threat that is taking so much preparation and concentration away from the defense going into these matchups. It's advantage Cardinals.
Yeah, I just don't like the comp to Michael Vick. I don't like it. We're talking about quarterback here, playing quarterback in the NFL. And the number one attribute is what? Throw the ball. I don't like the comp. If you want to say that you haven't seen a running quarterback as talented as Mike Vick until Kyler Murray, okay, I got no problem with that, but even though there was a guy in the league last year that won the MVP award who rushed for over 1,200 yards and threw for over 3,100 yards and 36 touchdowns, I'm okay with you saying that if you want to go there. But Kyler Murray is.
I'm with the Russell Wilson just faster. That does not mean before Seahawks fans freak out that he's as accomplished as Russell Wilson,
no.
That he's as good of a deep ball thrower just yet, although it's only because Russell is that great. It's not a knock at all on Kyler Murray. And I think Russell's a little more accurate as of right now. There's some small things. So yeah, if I have to win a game, am I choosing Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray? Of course I'm choosing Russell Wilson. But when I look at it from the, hey, I'm a pretend scout and I'm just comping Kyler Murray, the only one that's close is Russell Wilson. But as soon as you say it, you've got a lot of other things you add to it, so it doesn't even make that much of a comp when you've got to say all these qualifiers. Well, there's this that's different. He's
alone.
Kyler's like something we've not seen before.
Yeah. What have we been saying since last year? The Seahawks have Russell Wilson, the base model edition, and the Cardinals have the twin turbo, the race engine edition.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, Doug. Kyler still obviously needs to improve and evolve to get anywhere near that level. He's only 18 games into his career, and right now nobody is playing better football in the NFL than Russell Wilson. He is absolutely lethal as a quarterback right now.
And nobody is playing better football as a division than the NFC West. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Rex Ryan!
Seahawks, 49ers, Rams. Best from the NFC West. Doug and Wolf give you an inside look at the Cardinals' division rivals.
We call it an NFC West Wednesday because about 2 years ago we speculated we think this might be the toughest division in football, and it continually is over and over again. In about 20 minutes, I'll actually prove it to you that it is the toughest division that football has seen in a number of years. So we take every Wednesday and we just kind of get up on our toes and we peer over the block wall and look at the other team, starting with
Seahawks.
They're 2-0. In some minds, they're the best team in the NFL. They beat the Patriots 35-30 by stuffing Cam Newton inside the five on the final play. Now they're taking on the Cowboys at home. That's a Sunday at 1:25. Pete Carroll, tell us all about what you saw offensively against New England.
Against a really, really difficult defense to deal with, they've historically been really a problem. Russ had a terrific night again, and the pass protection was excellent for us all night long, handling all the stunts and the pressures and the different things that they do, the variety of things they do. So a really big night for us to handle those kinds of problems, and Russ threw 5 touchdown passes tonight. You can just see that he's really in command of what we're doing, and his receivers came through beautifully.
Yeah, he definitely is in command. There's no doubt about it. And I would say the NFC West offensively is in command. They have 3 teams in the top 10 in total yards per game in the National Football League. 3. Arizona, of course, is number 6. Then you've got LA at number 7. You've got Seattle at number 10, Douglas.
Russell Wilson, what's the key to victory?
It was a special game because we kept battling. We knew it was going to come possibly down to the wire just because of the style of game and just all the different things that we were going to have to face. And there's a lot of great moments in there. And so, it's very important. I've always said this to you guys. It's very important to be able to win games like this, to constantly win games, even though it may be tight, even though it's close. It's the NFL, and it's never going to be easy. And so I'm proud of what we were able to do.
The only thing I'm a little concerned about, if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, is the fact that the physicality is not what it once was in Seattle, offensively and defensively, and will that come back to bite them in the butt?
The division has never lost a game outside the division, and the only team with a loss this year is
49ers.
But the San Francisco 49ers, yes, the Jets are bad, but when you have the demoralizing injuries they suffered in the game and you still win a 31-13 road game, that's unbelievable depth, preparation, and focus. And there's a lot of compliments you can shower on this team because you won a game, and this doesn't sound like a celebrating head coach.
Guys, injuries, Bosa, the knee was out. Solomon Thomas, knee out. Garoppolo, ankle out. Mostert, knee out. Tevin Coleman, knee out.
Oh, wow, that is incredible right there. But San Francisco is all about their defense. It all starts with their defense. Even though Kyle Shanahan is an offensive coach, even though he runs a bit of an old school approach with a two-back set, it's still about their defense, and that's the reason why the loss, in particular, of Nick Bosa is devastating.
In a weird scheduling anomaly, the San Francisco 49ers are playing back-to-back games at MetLife Stadium because they're playing the Jets and Giants in back-to-back weeks. So they're staying on the road at the Greenbrier, and after the injuries, despite the fact that the Steelers-Giants played on that turf the week before and the Jets played on that turf with them and did not suffer remotely the injuries of the 49ers, Mike Shanahan says,
I mean, who knows? I don't know exactly why it happened, but as far as the feeling that was on the sidelines, it's, you know, that's as many knee injuries and ankle stuff and people getting caught on a turf as I've ever been a part of. From what I saw, the other team did too. I know our players talked about it the entire game, just how sticky the turf was. I think that was the first time people played on it, I think. It was something our guys were concerned about right away. And the results definitely made that a lot stronger. And unfortunately, it's a place we got to go back to next week.
What a difficult situation to be in right there, to actually state the obvious, what you know is going on. And I believe Kyle Shanahan believes that sticky turf is the reason why all of the injuries, and yet at the same time, you can't hide it from your players. You have to state what is true, state the obvious. That's a tough spot to be in if you're Shanny.
His players believe it, and that's got to make you nervous of how aggressive are they going to be. Here is Jet McKinnon.
You know, me personally, I've already been through a lot. I've already been through, you know, the worst of the worst. So, I'm not really paying attention to it too much. Like I said, they're not the best. So, you know, you don't, after seeing a lot of injuries, you know, you hope that they can do something about it just for the safety of, you know, everybody playing in the game. But, for me, you know, kill is kill. I'm on a mission personally, so I'm ready.
Yeah, there you go. San Francisco, by the way, number six in defense. The number six defense in the National Football League. Guess who's number seven? The Arizona Cardinals.
And then the only team remaining is the one team that I think a lot of people questioned whether or not they'd be back to elite status. It's only 2 weeks in, but boy, it looks like they're for real.
Rams.
Eagles are bad, no doubt about it. But you still went on the road from L.A. all the way to Philadelphia and beat the snot out of them, 37-19. They've decided not to stay on the East Coast, flying all the way back from Philly to L.A., practice this week, and then head all the way back up to...
Hopefully the damn Orchard Park guy.
...to take on the Buffalo Bills at a 10 o'clock in the morning body clock game on Sunday. But no one was talking about the difficulties of travel. They were talking about that Jared Goff is looking better. Jared, why are you improved as a passer?
I just try to play my game. I don't think I'm worried about, you know, trying to expand anything. I think, you know, I've done a good job on the move up to this point. But, you know, my game is a drop-back passer. That's what I've always done my whole life. And we've been on the move quite a bit early on. But I think just continue to get good at stuff I'm not good at. And early on in my career, I wasn't very good at it. And I worked on it this offseason and many previous offseasons to get better at it.
Yeah, the Rams offense looks elite again, does it not, Bazinonians? Number five in the National Football League, but more importantly, number three in terms of rushing yards per game. They're running the ball very, very well. By the way, guess who's number six? The Arizona Cardinals, offensively, number six.
How come so far the theme of the NFC West Wednesday is every compliment you give one of the teams, this is where the Cardinals are in the rankings?
Because it's so amazing to actually see him right behind somebody like the Rams.
Sean McVay had the attitude, Wolf, of the, hey, let's hug it all out. We're all together. We're just one big happy family.
Jared played really well from the first snap to the end, made some timely throws. We petered out a little bit coming out of the second half and towards the end of the first half offensively. But, you know, like anything else, we just kind of picked one another up. Defensively, got a couple huge stops, got some short fields, and we were able to capitalize. And a lot of good contributors, a lot of young guys made a lot of plays today.
We just picked each other up. Truthfully, Sean McVay, America's just happy that you're one of the few people with a degree from that disgusting school and you actually have a job.
The
so congratulations.
Rams are going to win games by their offense, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Wolfley reporting their defense is pretty average, right in the middle of the pack.
And that is your NFC West Wednesday look at the best from the NFC West. Bear, hit the close.
Somehow it's fitting, though. I mean, the NFC West right now. You want to play the NFC West, you're going to hear the sound of silence. That's what you're going to hear.
Would you like me to prove it to you?
Yeah.
I have something for you that hasn't happened since the beginning of the divisional alignment that shows you just how good this division is. Yeah. It's next. Research it, Doug, on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hey, give it away now.